So I want to just point out a couple of things in the Christmas story. I actually had something prepared, but there's not enough time to share it. But I want to point out a couple of things from the Gospel of Luke and also from the Gospel of Matthew. And just turn there to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, real quick. Couple of announcements while you're turning there. Donnie wanted me to let everybody know that the men's breakfast that Joe initiated and used to run every Thursday morning is still taking place on Thursday mornings at the Daily Paper on Main Street in Hyannis. Not the West Main one, but Daily Paper, Thursday mornings. Donnie, what time is it? 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock Thursday mornings, if you're available to be there. And the lads still do that, and they will continue to meet, have breakfast, and fellowship as men. Sometimes they fellowship around the Scripture. Sometimes they just fellowship with each other and pray and encourage one another. And guys, if you're available, you could probably benefit from it. So talk to Donnie. He's kind of taking charge there. And yeah. So the Gospel of Luke, and I underlined in my Bible every time that that faith spoke, and I also underlined this time that faith did not speak, or that the lack of faith, that unbelief did not speak, because I thought that that was significant. Thank you, Jason, for reading that exact passage of Scripture this morning. Still in awe of the way the Lord does that. Chapter 1, verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." I want to just take that verse, and I know it's part of the Christmas story. It's sort of the precursor to the Christmas story. And so it's where I want to focus today, just for these few brief minutes. I want to say that the God-given consequence of unbelief is that you have no voice. And that is, in fact, the grace of God. God has created you to be an image bearer, to carry the very image of God. When God made mankind, he made him in his image. You were designed to be in the image of the Lord. Sin, which was our choice, marred that image. The promise of God was that he would restore us, that he would forgive us. Forgive first, restore second, and that he would raise us up to be heirs of his kingdom as we were originally intended to be. There have been many who have faithfully believed those words. And there have been those who have opposed that promise. In opposition to that promise was first the voice of Satan. First in the garden when he pointed out to Eve the one thing she wasn't supposed to taste of, to eat of, the commandment of the Lord being very clear to her, Satan said, "Surely you will be like God if you eat from that." She was already the image bearer, but she didn't believe. And because of that, she lost everything. The presence of the Lord. And Adam along with her, because he ate the fruit along with her. You know the story, and I don't need to reiterate that story, but here's what I want you to know. In Christ Jesus, the new Adam, the one who did not take from the fruit of the tree, but died upon that tree for you and for me. The one who took the fruit of our sin, death, upon himself, that we might be given life. The beautiful, amazing fulfillment of that story. The reversal of Eden and the reestablishment of the kingdom and the creation of God in the new creation, Christ has declared that you are new, and he has given you the image of God again. In Christ, we have been given this privilege to carry his image again. Jesus, when he came teaching, Mark chapter 1 says, he began speaking to them saying, repent and believe. Repent and believe. I believe that it is absolutely imperative that we recognize our sins and turn from them. Repentance is paramount. It is how salvation comes to us. Christ has come and we need to turn to him. Turn from our sins and turn to the living God. It is important, it is imperative that you repent. And as we teach on these things over these next few months about renouncing the works of evil and clinging to the Holy Spirit of God to work good works in the name of the Lord, as we do that, that repentance is going to become a huge part of your vocabulary. It is no good for us to continue in our sin. It is no good for us to continue in our sin and not acknowledge it before the Lord. It is also no good for us to pretend that our sins don't exist and attempt to serve the Lord while at the same time hiding those sins. As image bearers, God wants us to mirror him. He wants us to have a reflection of him that is undefiled. How do we do that? Being honest and fearing not. It's going to take some faith. And faith is going to need to speak. I believe that that the Lord has got a really, really awesome season for us in 2019. It's coming up. It's just around the corner. We've got a week or so before the final Sunday, before the final weekend of the year. And in advance of that, I want to give you guys an invitation as we head towards the new year. On New Year's Day, I want to invite you to establish a fast, to dedicate yourselves in a fast to the Lord for 21 days, 3 weeks, to say, Lord, I want to give the first 3 weeks of the year to you in prayer and fasting. Now, I can talk some more about that next week and explain what fasting may look like, but I want to give you the heads up, not so that you can gorge yourselves over Christmas and then have your New Year's resolution, but so that you can begin to prepare your hearts if you want to participate in that. No obligation to anybody, but it's an invitation to you to participate with me, and we do it together and seek the Lord together as a church for the breakthrough in our community and in our world. Amen? For healing in our church and breakthrough in the world. I think that's something we can pray for. Amen? So I want to invite you to do that. As we head towards that, I'll give you that announcement. But we're going to be looking at a really wonderful year. I sense it in my heart, in my spirit. I just sense the God's turning the power button on, and there's going to be a deep move of the Holy Spirit in us, and boldness that arises in the midst, and it's going to require that we speak. Zechariah was given an amazing promise from Gabriel, from the Lord. Gabriel was just the messenger. But Zechariah didn't believe it, because he didn't believe that God could use him, because he was already old. What is there that prohibits you from believing that God could use you? Zechariah was disappointed because he'd spent his whole life preparing himself to serve God. He was a righteous man. He was married to a righteous woman. They were both from the Levitical line. They both were set aside and set apart to the service of the Lord, and yet they had mediocre lives up to that point. Faithful, righteous, but nothing to brag about. In the midst of all of that, I'm going to guess there was probably some disappointment at God for not using him. So when God came to him and said, I'm going to give you a child, Zechariah, in his heart thought, really? I mean, what 50-year-old wants to have a baby? You're all set, Charlie? Jason, another one? Whatever God wants, right? Most of us, by the time we reach 50, well, I'm not 50 yet, okay, I'm 48, but I'm closing in on 50. And I'm thinking to myself, a baby right now? A grandchild, maybe, but a baby? Tammy's probably just, ain't going to happen. Zechariah, at this point, is thinking, God, if you'd come to me 25 years ago and told me I was going to have a baby, no problem then. That was when I was asking. And right now, why? But not only that, Zechariah's heard prophetic words before. He spent his life studying Scripture. I don't think he's ever seen an angel before, but he can't be sure that he's really seeing an angel, or maybe he's just, maybe he just wants to see an angel and he's thinking he's seeing an angel. Maybe he's having a daydream in the house of the Lord. I don't know. That's maybe what he's thinking. But he says to the angel, why should I believe? How do I know this? And the best thing that God could have done to him right that moment was to say to him, you know what, Zechariah, I'm going to do this anyway, with or without your consent. But so that you don't hamstring what's going on here, you're not going to be able to speak. Here's what I want to tell you. As a church, God is taking us places, and you're going to be a part of it. And even if you don't believe that God is going to take this church places and do things with this church, God's going to do it anyway. But you may find that you lose your voice temporarily until faith arises in your heart. When it was impossible for Zechariah to see what God was doing, it was hard for him to believe. But when his wife's belly began to grow, I'd imagine that Zechariah began to believe. And by the time she gave birth to that son, I can imagine that Zechariah at this point was saying, God, I believe. Open up my mouth. I've gotten over that unbelief. Lord, give me the speech now. Let me say it. And it wasn't until the time came to make a public proclamation of his faith that Zechariah crossed over that line. And he made his faith something more than just a personal faith. He made it a very public faith. Living Hope Family Church, mark my words, God's going to do something with this church, and he's going to do it with those who are willing to make a public proclamation of their faith. And the rest of the congregation who doesn't want to do that, watch. As we grow, and as God begins to birth that, and when the time comes, you will also believe. And when you do, God will give you a voice back. Faith speaks. Look at these other references real quick. It says that the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And he said these words in chapter 1, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. The Greek for that, actually directly translated, says, for nothing will be impossible for the words of God. That's actually the direct translation. And you can check it out if you like in the Greek. I've actually got it written in the Greek in my Bible here. Nothing will be impossible for the words of God. Somebody preached a message here not too long ago. It might have been Daryl. He said, every word of God or every declaration of God is pregnant with power to perform itself. Every word of God is pregnant with power to perform itself. That's why we have to speak. And we have to speak as the very oracles of God. Because the word of God spoken on the lips of faith is unstoppable. And so Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And she was not mute, but she spoke freely. And you can read her song just a few verses down. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Here's what happens when faith speaks. It always speaks out praises and glory to God. Faith doesn't speak, I'm going to have a new Cadillac. Faith doesn't say, I'm going to prosper in 2019 and my family's going to be rich. That's not what faith says. Faith says glory to God in the highest. Faith says peace to men on earth. Faith says the Lord is mighty and has fulfilled his promise. Faith says, I believe and I'm willing to take a stand for Christ. That's what faith says. Look at Elizabeth, just a few verses before. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is when Mary came to visit her and the baby leaped in her womb. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. Faith speaks. And when faith speaks, it speaks words of encouragement. Faith speaks not words of doubt. Faith doesn't speak words of disappointment. Faith doesn't speak words that are cutting. Faith doesn't speak words of gossip. Faith doesn't speak words that tear down. Faith doesn't speak negativity. Faith speaks encouragement and blessing and honor to God. Faith speaks wisdom and righteousness. Faith speaks, I believe. When Zechariah spoke by faith, he spoke out the very name of his sons. Faith speaks identity. Calls people according to the names that God gave them, not the names that the world wants to give them. John wasn't named after the way the world wanted to name him, according to the traditions of their fathers handed down. So much so that when Elizabeth said his name is John, and the people said, but that's not the family name. Why do you want to do that? The world will put pressure on us to name our children and our families and our lifestyle and everything about us. The world will put pressure on us to name it according to the traditions of our fathers. But God wants to redirect our future, and he wants to do it by naming a name that he has given that nobody else can give or take away. And faith speaks that identity. In Living Hope Family Church, we're going to be a place that speaks identity, new identity to believers and to new Christians and converts. 2019, mark my words, 2019 is going to be a year where we see more conversions in the single year than we've seen in our entire history as a church. And I'm going to claim it by faith. I speak it into existence. Lord, may it be. May it be that in 2019, we see not only people coming to Christ, but being discipled in the ways of the Lord, turning from wickedness and sin, renouncing the wicked ways of the world, and following the narrow road that Christ has given. And I speak it. I'm pregnant with this thing. Shut up, Charlie. You know me too well, Charlie Markarian. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 67. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. See that? Chapter 2. In verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Look at this, faith speaks. Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Faith speaks. Look at verse 27 of chapter 2. And he came in the spirit to the temple. This is one of my favorite guys, Simeon. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Faith speaks. Verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Yeah. She was a widow for a very long time. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. This woman knew that. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak. Faith speaks. Look, faith speaks for the young. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. Faith was speaking right there. He didn't even see Jesus. He just felt his presence. And he leapt. Faith speaks. Well, faith kicks. Mary spoke. She's a teenager. Zechariah and Elizabeth spoke by faith. They were middle-aged. Simeon and Anna spoke. They were in their latter years. The angels spoke. Mighty host of heaven, the armies of the Lord. The shepherds spoke. The lowly shepherds, the manual laborers spoke. The whole world, when it's filled with faith, begins to speak glory to the Lord. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Faith speaks. So, I would have given you a much broader lesson than that earlier, but there it is. That's it for today. I want to encourage you to speak words of faith and encouragement. And if you don't have anything faithful and encouraging to say, be mute. Be mute. Do you hear me? Do not speak against what God is doing. Do not declare your unbelief out loud. Do not discourage others, but encourage them instead. How many of you did your homework from last week? Anybody? 1 Corinthians 13. Did you read it? Awesome. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, I think it is. What does it say? Okay, try verse 5.
It's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered.
Okay, stop right there. Love is not rude, love is not self-seeking, love is not easily angered. Who has that same verse in a different translation? Okay, I see some translations back there. Joanne, can you read it out? Thinketh no evil, is not puffed up. Thank you, King James. Good stuff right there. Anybody got another translation? Yeah, go ahead, Tara.
Verse 5. It says, or rude, it does not demand its own way, it is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong.
It is not irritable. Whew. Irritable. I was very irritable this week. What does yours say, Jason? Same thing? Okay, so your homework for this week is to make 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 your goal. Okay? Especially the irritable part. Just take a look at your neighbor and say, irritable. Let your light so shine amongst men that they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And this is part of the way you do it. You shine the light of Jesus by being this kind of love. Love is not... it is not vaunted up. It does not do unseemly things. It's not arrogant and full of itself. It's selfish and irritable. Father, thank you for messing with our stuff today and for getting all up in the mix. It's time for us to go home, but we want to carry you with us. Lord, as we think about Christmas, 2 days away, oh, our hearts are happy. We want to pray for those in our community for whom Christmas time is difficult. May we be sensitive to that. May we be hospitable and welcome them into our homes, or at least into our lives and into our prayers. And may we be kind and generous, as you have been kind and generous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Amen.